The Coach's Survival Guide, Navigating the Challenges of Coaching. Introduction. Hello, I'm Kim Morgan, and I'm thrilled to share with you the insights from my book, The Coach's Survival Guide. As a coach myself, I understand the unique challenges and rewards that come with this profession. In this guide, I'll take you through the essential aspects of coaching, from building credibility to managing your own well-being. Whether you're just starting out or looking to refine your skills, this book is designed to help you thrive in your coaching career. Building credibility as a coach. Let's start by talking about credibility. Many new coaches believe that certification alone is enough to establish themselves in the field. However, I found that true credibility comes from a combination of factors. Take Simon, for example. He left his government job, excited about the prospect of high-paying executive coaching gigs. But after getting certified, he found himself stuck coaching only within the local government sector. Why? Because that's where his experience lay. To build credibility in your desired field, you need to demonstrate relevant experience. This might mean offering free sessions to your target audience in exchange for testimonials. Or, like Doreen, you might discover that your personal experiences, such as going through divorce and remarriage, make you particularly well-suited to relationship coaching. Remember, clients want to see that you have practical knowledge in their area of interest. Your life experiences can be just as valuable as your formal training when it comes to establishing credibility. Battling imposter syndrome. Now, let's address a common issue that many coaches face, imposter syndrome. This is the feeling that you're not qualified enough, despite evidence to the contrary. I once worked with Lauren, a certified coach with 3 years of experience. Despite her qualifications, she struggled to take on paying clients, always referring them to other coaches she believed were more capable. This is a classic case of imposter syndrome. If you're dealing with these feelings, remember that you're not alone. Almost every coach experiences this at some point. The key is to recognize these thoughts for what they are, unfounded doubts, and to challenge them. Remind yourself of your training and experiences. Reflect on the positive feedback you've received from clients. And if necessary, don't hesitate to seek support from a mentor or therapist. Remember, overcoming imposter syndrome is crucial not just for your success, but for your ability to serve your clients effectively. Maintaining work-life balance. As coaches, we're often so passionate about our work that we risk letting it consume our lives. This leads me to an important point, the necessity of maintaining a healthy work-life balance. I once knew a coach named Sam who was incredibly dedicated to her clients. She helped jobless women find new careers, and her clients loved her so much that they kept in touch years after their coaching ended. Sounds great, right? But there was a downside. Sam spent so much time reconnecting with old clients that the rest of her life began to suffer. It's easy to fall into the trap of putting your clients' needs above your own. Some coaches even avoid taking bathroom breaks during sessions. But this kind of self-sacrifice isn't sustainable, and it doesn't serve you or your clients in the long run. To maintain balance, start by working on your self-esteem. Many of us feel useless when we're not working, which leads to overwork. Find hobbies and passions outside of coaching. Remember what you enjoyed as a child and try to incorporate some of those activities into your adult life. When you have a healthy work-life balance, you'll have more energy and insight to offer your clients. You'll be modeling the kind of balanced, fulfilling life that many of your clients are striving for. The art of easeful coaching. Now, let's talk about a mindset shift that can dramatically improve your coaching, moving from trying hard to being easeful. Many of us were taught from a young age to always try our hardest. While this can be beneficial in many areas of life, it can actually hinder our effectiveness as coaches. Coaching should be a partnership, where the coach holds the process that enables new thinking, and the client does the hard work of thinking and moving forward. When we as coaches try too hard, we risk taking on too much responsibility for the client's progress. Instead, aim for a state of easeful coaching. This doesn't mean being lazy or disengaged. Rather, it means being fully present and responsive without straining or pushing. It's about trusting the process and the client's ability to find their own solutions. To cultivate this easeful approach, start by letting go of the need to know all the answers or to achieve a specific outcome in each session. Get comfortable with not knowing where the session is going. Trust that by holding space and asking the right questions, you're creating the conditions for your client's growth and insight. Embracing continuous growth. Finally, I want to emphasize the importance of continuous growth as a coach. The field of coaching is always evolving, and so should we. This doesn't mean constantly chasing new certifications or techniques. Instead, it's about deepening our understanding of human nature, refining our skills, and expanding our self-awareness. One way to grow is through regular reflection on your coaching practice. After each session, take a few minutes to consider what went well and what you might do differently next time. Pay attention to patterns in your coaching. Are there certain types of clients or issues that you find particularly challenging or rewarding? Another powerful tool for growth is seeking feedback from clients, peers, and mentors. This can be uncomfortable at times, but it's invaluable for your development as a coach. Remember, feedback is not a judgment of your worth as a person or a coach. It's simply information that you can use to refine your skills and better serve your clients. Lastly, don't forget to invest in your own personal development. The more we understand ourselves, the better equipped we are to help others. This might involve your own therapy or coaching, meditation practice, or exploring new areas of interest outside of coaching. Conclusion. As we wrap up, I want to remind you that becoming a great coach is a journey, not a destination. There will be challenges along the way, but with the right mindset and tools, you can navigate them successfully. Remember to build your credibility, battle imposter syndrome, maintain work-life balance, cultivate easeful coaching, and embrace continuous growth. Thank you for joining me on this exploration of the Coach's Survival Guide. I hope these insights will support you in your coaching journey, helping you to not just survive, but truly thrive in this rewarding profession. Here's to your success as a coach.